killed her. Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
I'm losing my mind just a little. It's time now for Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. You can call the show now at 503-397-1600 or toll free at 877-397-1632. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KOHI, staff, management, or sponsors. Now, here's Melinda.
Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to Setting the Record Straight. Carol and I have a great show for you today. We are joined once again by Tammy and Brady from Odd Friday. This throughout this month and maybe even a couple weeks into May, we're going to be doing two-hour shows to talk about candidates and bond measures and all those fun things that will be decided on May 16th. So this morning, right now, we are joined by Sheriff Brian Pixley. Good morning, Brian.
Hello, and how are you guys doing?
We're great. We are great. So you are here to talk about, is it 5290?
5290, yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I think the sheriff is asking us for money. So tell us how much money and why you want it, why you want our money.
All right. So this kind of goes back a long time. I've been with the sheriff's office, or I've been in law enforcement here in Columbia County for just over 20 years now. And over that entire span, the sheriff's office has been consistently underfunded and understaffed. What that means for Columbia County residents is a slower response, spotty patrol coverage, and a completely reactive police force. Roughly half the population of Columbia County lives within city limits and is covered by about 40 city police officer FTEs. The other half of the population, spanning over 640 square miles, is patrolled by just 8 dedicated sheriff's office patrol deputies. The busiest city in our county averages about 634 calls for service per year per officer. My sheriff's office deputies average about 1,613 calls per year per deputy. And this is too much to ask of my staff, really too much to ask of anyone. So I'm asking the citizens of Columbia County to help me make our community a better place to live, work, and recreate by entrusting us with the funds needed for additional staff. The Sheriff's Office Patrol Levy would fund 7 additional deputies, total roll-up costs, including vehicles, equipment, and everything else. Once hired and trained, these 7 deputies would immediately increase community safety and deputy safety by having faster response times and better coverage and backup during tense situations. Residents will see 24 hours of on-duty law enforcement patrol coverage. Response times to incidents would be reduced. Deputies would be available to back up other deputies on high priority calls. There'd be a greater patrol presence. We all know that more deputies patrolling our community gives us a more visible sense of safety. Additional man hours to commit to active investigations to follow up on open cases. Added safety for our city officers in the form of more readily available backup and the ability to have law enforcement response inside cities when they have no one on duty. Would also allow us to do proactive patrols around city limits. What that would potentially do is maybe help drive down the crime within the cities if we can stop it before it even hits the city limits. Improved training for my deputies would reduce the individual call load of my patrol deputies by about 600 calls per year, which makes it much more manageable.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. How many calls do, I know that you're short-staffed.
Yeah.
And this has been an issue for 30 years at least.
Yeah.
Only we didn't have the population that we have now.
Correct.
So tell me, how many calls on average would your deputies make I don't know if you have it broken down by the month or the day or the week.
So I just have that kind of as a 365 days of the year, each deputy is handling 1,613 calls for service last year.
I'm sorry, how many?
1,613 calls for service per year.
Okay.
Or for my deputies. Right. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I have in March of 2022, we were handling 19,000 calls for service. Yeah, 19,359 calls for service in that year.
So when you talk about calls, tell me what exactly does that look like? Explain that in detail. Are we talking about domestic violence, accidents, what?
All of the above. So we have traffic complaints, domestics, burglaries, thefts, you name it, really, follow-up investigations, animal abuse or neglect investigations, marine calls, the whole gamut.
Oh, hey, so that reminds me. So those seven deputies, is one going to be dedicated to Marines, or are they all going to be on, you know, on?
The goal is to use one of those FTEs to increase our Marine coverage.
Okay. All right. Carol, looks like you had a question for the sheriff.
No, I was just shaking my head. I was agreeing. I mean, I can see what the sheriff is talking about, and I think we do need it. And times have changed. We had a burglary where I live in the hills two weekends ago, and it's just horrifying to think. And as the person said, I've lived here 35 years and never even thought about it. And all of a sudden, there we are. And you know, we've had cars broken into down the hill from me and stuff. And it's just not just my experience, but the world has changed, and we need to keep up with it. And I would love to see, after we get to this point, expanding to have more crisis intervention training and have some people who are para police who go in, and when it's a mental health thing, and help, and you know, free up the officer or the deputy for something else. But you know, I think this is a very good beginning, and we need it. And you know, it's only money, you know.
but really, to follow up on what Carol was talking about, right? Uh-huh. Is I would love to be able to have kind of a step down police, a couple, two or three people that are like step down police. They still have the same police training, but their focus is the lower priority things, mental health calls. They'll have increased mental health training. They can handle like the non-injury traffic crashes, those kind of things. But we can't put that in place until we have the deputies in place to help keep them safe.
Right. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So right now, what is the starting wage for a sheriff's deputy? If Carol wants to become a deputy, she's joining today. How much are you going to pay her an hour?
Carol, nothing. She would do it for free.
You've been doing it for free for years,
right? We actually just had an increase with our last contract negotiations, so I don't have that number right in front of me, Melinda. But if you bear with me for un momento, I will find
it. Sure, because at some point I remember it was so low that you could work at Burgerville, $22 or $23 an hour.
Yeah, prior to this contract, I think it was $22 or $23 an hour. I mean, it's really hard to find people to go out there and risk their life for when they can go to Burgerville or whatever and make a few dollars more or less.
Right.
All right. So right currently our starting wage for deputies, I'm sorry, I have bad eyes, $26.59 an hour. Makes us much more competitive.
Is it? That's competitive?
It is in Columbia County.
Oh, I think
this makes
goodness.
Us the either the second or the third highest paid in our county. But deputies can still go to Washington County, Multnomah County, or I think even Clatsop County and make more. So it's more competitive than we were. How does that sound?
Okay. Yeah. All right. So now with the seven, if the levy passes, mm-hmm. those seven new deputies, they could be lateral moves. In other words, they could be somebody who maybe lives in Rainier and is tired of driving to Washington County. Would they be getting, it's union, right? So it would depend on how much experience they have. That would be, their pay would be dependent on that. Is that right?
Yeah, that's how we do. So if someone comes in with 5 years of police experience, we try to start them off at step five to kind of make it, the pay more commensurate with their experience.
And do they have to do some time in the jail? I mean, not behind bars, but on the other side. But do they have to work in the jail before they can be on the street?
No, they don't have to. I prefer that because that's my roots. That's where I came from. And I think that made me a much better police officer. I think most of my current staff came from the jail, but that's not a requirement.
Okay. Well, what can you explain to us why that made you a better police officer?
Because it helped me learn how to defuse situations, help me deal with mental health issues, help get the inmates or the people who were getting out of jail, right? They knew me, they had a rapport with me. So once I hit the streets, they wouldn't talk to whatever officer or deputy was there with me, but they would talk to me because they knew me, they trusted me. It helps all the way around.
Okay, because even though we are a small county, so would you say that we get repeat visitors to the jail?
Absolutely. We've had family reunions in the jail before.
Oh gosh. Okay. So it helps to know, so it helps as somebody who is a patrol deputy to have that background, so they have a better understanding of what they might be facing or might be dealing with?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. I often wonder that. So you're not going to require them, but that would be your preference.
Yeah, that'd be my preference. And the other piece of that is, right, so the corrections training and police training are two completely different topics, different subjects, right? For corrections, mm-hmm. they have to go to police academy for 6 weeks down in Salem. For police, it's 16 weeks. And it doesn't make a difference if you've attended the six-week academy. You still have to attend the full 6 weeks. So the reason I don't require it is because I like to get laterals because that helps us get them on the street quicker.
Sure.
And okay. Much less money spent.
I see. Okay. All right. So let's talk about, a lot of people are saying, well, wait, hang on. You know, why do we need more deputies now? All these years, you know, we've been fine, but it really wasn't fine, right? Because we were always down. Yeah. Is that correct?
That's correct. When I came back to the county as a patrol deputy in 2010, I was one of four deputies. And when you're, you know, from, I think the day shift deputy worked 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So from 4 to 8, I had someone to cover me. And from 8 to, I think I went home at 3 o'clock in the morning, it was just me out in the county. And there were times where I was responding to domestics by myself because no one else was available to cover. And, you know, it's not the best thing to do in those situations is to not respond, but you can't just not respond.
Statistically, what's the most dangerous call to go on?
Domestics.
And why would you say that is?
Because it's already a highly emotionally charged situation. And if you go statistically speaking, the male is typically the aggressor and he's abusing the woman. Along with the physical abuse, there's a lot of mental abuse and financial abuse as well. So they will, they like to dominate in all those different ways. So then, you know, the female who's getting beat up, usually the neighbor calls the police to say, here's something going on. We show up, it's a mandatory arrest, so we put the male in handcuffs. And then the female, you know, she's not working, been mentally abused, she sees, you know, she's home with two or three kids. How is she going to support these kids when he can't be around? So it turns real quick.
Okay. So having two or more officers is essential, would you say?
Having at least two is essential, yeah. Because the other thing you do is you split the parties up, so when you're interviewing them, one can't intimidate the other and they can't change their stories to match or to not match.
Right.
So it'd be nice to have those two investigating deputies plus a third one to help kind of mediate the center, deal with the kids or help deal with officer safety stuff.
Okay. Well, back to, you know, Carol's question, have you considered having, what did you call them? A para police officer? What did you call that, Carol?
I don't know. The one in Eugene where people are sent out just on mental health calls. We have a little bit of that here.
Yes, I have considered that. Last year, either 21 or 22, I can't remember which year, I actually sat down with my command staff and we brainstormed ideas of how we can help drive down the call load for our deputies by taking some of these non-priority calls out, the mental health calls, things like that. But what it came back down to is, okay, that's fine if we, you know, don't hire two deputies and we hire two of these people, then they're in Deer Island dealing with an issue and the deputy on duty is in Vernonia. They need help. They're not going to be there to cover. So it's not it's not safe. It's not beneficial at this point.
So we had an incident. I'm sorry, Carol, you mean to interrupt. We had an incident, as you all recall, where a mental health professional went out and was killed. So having a deputy backup probably helps. Mm-hmm. So what were you going to say, Carol?
Well, I was going to say that an incident happened last night where my daughter lives in Washington, and she was talking to me on the way to work, and she said, I was up all night because it was flashing and lights and all this stuff, and it was a domestic, but the guy had a gun.
Yeah.
And he shot three people. And that's why there was the police, because I said there had to have to be a gun involved, because that's when you get, she said, I can't believe how many police are out there. I don't know what's going on, but it's terrifying. And we have more of that, sadly, and more, you know, more people with mental illness in the everywhere that need to be addressed. And so I think I like the combination. And I remember years ago when I worked with Portland, and part of my job was training officers to deal with, you know, what do you do if you have a really old person, and where do you refer them? Who do you call? Because nobody knew how to do that. They just called Central Precinct, and then the guy retired, and we lost the whole entire, we didn't have any resources. And so it's a combination, and I like that. And I think Brian's always been willing to do that, which I like.
Yeah.
And hey, Brady's back. We lost Brady and Tammy.
God. We just saw a sheriff deputy pulling out of the driveway with a pair of cable cutters.
Under some boxes.
Now he's heading to the cell tower now. So
call 911. They can figure it out. They've got a wonderful system. It's Motorola.
Exactly. Brady's got chicken grease on his fingers, so the canine will find us.
Every time we see Brady, God. We stick a hot dog in his back pocket just so we can have a good scent trail for the
That's
dog.
That's right. So. That's right. Yeah. Did you have a question for Sheriff Pixley about the levy?
Lots of questions. And
all right, go for it.
We both got disconnected. And hopefully you didn't already ask these while we were trying to get reconnected.
No, we were talking about you.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
Just kidding.
The question I first have is. I don't know if you saw, but on Wednesday, the St. Helens City Council discussed the levy. They were not very receptive of it and did not vote to endorse the levy. Mm-hmm. Partly because you didn't come and ask them, I think, but partly their point is that as a resident of St. Helens, and I think I'm the only one here, frankly, that is a resident of St. Helens, I already pay for 24/7 coverage. And why would I pay twice? And I think Scappoose also does. And I realize, you know, your numbers were actually good about, yeah, I have coverage of police stations, but why did you not exclude those cities from the levy where we already have 24/7 coverage?
Well, right now, St. Helens is the only city in the county with 24/7 coverage. Scappoose has had it off.
They have funding, they just don't have the officers.
Who, Scappoose?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't looked at their recent budget. I know over the years, some years they have, some years they haven't. Right now, the only agency that has 24-hour coverage is St. Helens. And really why this is good for cities is because, like I said earlier, right, not all cities in the county have 24/7 coverage. So when they are not on duty and that domestic or that burglary in progress comes in, they have to wait for someone to get called out from the house and get dressed and come out. Whereas if there's a sheriff's office deputy on duty at 3 o'clock in the morning when that comes out, they can go and help mitigate that situation or at least keep everyone safe until the officer is called out from home. But the other piece to this is added officer safety, Brady. You know, St. Helens has, what, I think two officers on all the time, or they have three. I'm not sure which one.
It's two at all the time.
Yeah. But like I was talking earlier, you get that burg in progress, or you get the domestic or something like that, or some high priority call. It's going to take more than two people. So that's going to help have instant backup for them, but also going to help us provide proactive policing around the cities, which I do believe will actually drive down crime in the cities.
Do you have statistics for how many times the sheriff's office has actually assisted someone in either the police department in either St. Helens or Scappoose?
I have been trying to find a report to do that without having to go through and hand check each individual deputy's call load. I think that's what I'm going to have to do. Just this morning, I was trying to figure that out as well. And I went back, I think, 3 months per call, by one call type, so a death investigation call type. And we responded inside the city of St. Helens at least 5 times in the last 3 months just for death investigations.
Okay. I think Tammy had, I don't know if it's Tammy's turn again. Sorry we got cut off, but if it's her turn, she has a question, I think, too.
Is it my turn?
It is.
Okay. Hey, thanks for coming on the show.
Anytime.
This is anytime. My question. Okay, thanks a lot.
Are you on the floor?
I'm under a box. The question I got is, if you get this money, isn't it kind of hard to find deputies, law enforcement officers to hire? And I was looking on that page that you have where you're on a board and there's officers that's had problems and they go through this, you know, peer...
I'm talking about the policy committees, like the police policy committee, corrections policy committee. I think that's what you're talking about through DPSST.
DPSST.
Yeah, DPTSTPD or something, whatever.
Department of Public Safety Standards and Training.
That's it. Well, I don't understand how you get to your conclusions on that. If they've done something pretty grievous, I see on there they might lose certification for a couple years, then that means they can come right back after a couple years. So my question kind of is, there was a fellow that was fired from St. Helens, and then he went and applied at at the sheriff's department, and you hired him. Why would you do that if he's had problems in another jurisdiction?
I don't believe he was fired from St. Helens. I think there's some sort of settlement. I'm not sure what that entails. But really, just because someone has a bad experience in one agency, right? He's worked at, I think we are his third or fourth agency. So you take when you do a background investigation, you talk to everyone. And just because they have issues at one agency, but they have a great reference at another agency, you know, they can kind of cancel each other out depending on what the situation is. And this gentleman you're talking about, you know, we spoke with several St. Helens PD officers who gave us glowing references for him as well.
Okay. All right. I'll get you another question next.
Okay.
Whoever's turn it is. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, guys. Well, I'm glad you could join us again. That's great. Okay, so 7 deputies, and how long would the levy be for? Would it be ongoing? Or I mean, because like we talked about, we've always been underfunded, and we only have a couple minutes before we have to go to break, but we've always been underfunded as long as I can remember, 30 years at least. Yeah. And how do you, like, is this, are we talking 3 years? Then what happens?
4 years, then we'll run again. And really what I like about this is this is kind of going to be proof of concept, right? So we can, hopefully this passes next month. Then we can show the public that we're doing exactly what we say we're going to do. And we'll ask them for another renewal in 4 years. Yeah, at some point in the distant future, I'd like to turn this into a permanent taxing base, but we have a long way to go until we can get there.
Okay. And really quick, because we do have a couple minutes before a break, are you worried at all that the commission, if the levy passes, that the commission will then decide, ooh, we can further cut his budget?
I'm not, because they've already signed the resolution dedicating the funds from the levy to the sheriff's office, and also to maintain our funding at the current levels. So that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big promise from them to me.
Okay. And if one or more of them get, you know, leave, and you get new commissioners, is that set in stone, or is that something we need to be concerned about?
It's not set in stone. So as an elected official, you're not bound by any decisions made by any other elected official that you replace. So that's always that can always be a concern in the future, but not if they want to get reelected, because I think the taxpayers would get pretty upset if they came in and did that, and that would ensure that would be publicized.
Okay, agreed. All right, well, We're going to take a quick break, and Setting the Record Straight and Odd Friday, we'll be right back with more with Sheriff Pixley. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Realizing Art, your local tattoo and body art studio, serving Lower Columbia County since 2019. We offer a variety of tattoo and art services in a warm, clean, and welcoming environment. Stop by downtown St. Helens and visit Realizing Art. You can give us a call at 503-396-5018, or you can find us on Facebook and Google. Again, that's Realizing Art in downtown St. Helens, Oregon.
Hi, it's Mindy Sass from Northwest Plumbing Services with an important message if you are considering a walk-in tub. Yes, we can install walk-in tubs for you. And by the way, save you many dollars over the advertised prices you're seeing on TV. But here's the warning. Those companies won't tell you if your water heater can handle the increased hot water volume you'll need. And the last thing you want to happen is to wind up walking to your bathroom from your kitchen with containers of hot water you had to heat on your stove. Yes, this is a true story. So call me now, let Northwest Plumbing Services evaluate the plumbing in your home and give you a bid to install your walk-in tub for less money and make sure your water heater is up for the task. Call 503-366-1323. That's 503-366-1323. Our CCB number is 77141.
You work hard to make sure your family has everything they need. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family will have the help they need to maintain their quality of life and pursue their dreams. Get the peace of mind you deserve by protecting what matters most.
Contact Heather Epperly Agent at Heather Epperly Agency, Inc., 1570 Columbia Boulevard in St. Helens, or call 503-397-2033 today.
American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
Did you know that here at Grocery Outlet, we feature over 150 terrific wines at sensational prices? Stop by our wine section and browse the Merlots, Pinot Grigios, and Chardonnays. It's time to discover something new. Grocery Outlet. Shop us first. Get more.
Grocery Outlet. Bargain Market.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. Call the show now at 503-397-1600.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, Carol and I are having a two-hour special edition with Odd Friday this morning. And right now we're chatting with Sheriff Brian Pixley about the levy, his 5290. He is asking taxpayers to fund 7 additional deputies. And Brian, could you go over how much it's going to cost again?
Yes, so what we're asking,
like each person.
What we're asking the voters is for 29 cents per $1,000 of assessed value. So for a home valued at $400,000, it'll cost them $116 per year or less than $10 per month.
Okay. All right. And 7 deputies, and that includes their benefits, their pay package, everything.
Yeah, buying new cars for them, everything.
Right, because we don't have, how many cars do you have?
Well, we've been trying to order 4 cars from Ford for 2 years. They've canceled our order, so we've been scrambling.
We have four
Dodges on order that'll hopefully be here and online by the first of the year. But really, I think we have one spare car, maybe 2 spare cars at the office. I'm driving an unmarked car with no police, S police lights and police radio, because I had to give my car up to the deputy, so we needed the cars.
Hey, can we talk about that for a minute?
Sure.
Do we have stickers on our cars yet? Do we know that it's the sheriff's deputy? You know, because Maverick Dickerson took them all off.
Yeah, I put those on a couple of years ago. They're green.
Okay.
Because that's actually when Annette and I went to Europe in 2020. And we're driving over the hills in Scotland, and I saw this cop car that was just like a blind person could see this car. It was so bright. It's like, that's kind of what we need to get back to, right? That mm-hmm. helps promote that visible sense of safety. And when people see cars driving around, they're less likely to do stupid stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree. I slow down if I see your car.
I think all but three of our cars are marked currently. So.
Okay, excellent. So we're talking about seven deputies, but also those cars, they're just not basic cars. They have to come with a radio package. And so that, I'm guessing that that's expensive.
Yeah, I think the vehicles we just bought are $76,000 a piece. So we lease those.
Oh, my word. $76,000? That's complete with radio, computer
thing. Yeah, that's
thing.
The thing. I think it's almost probably half and half. I didn't build the cars, so I'm kind of working off memory. But I think the cars themselves are around $40,000. And then the rest is all upfitting. It's the police package, the lights, the radios, radar, all that stuff.
Oh, my word. Oh, Tammy, you look like you have something to say about that.
Oh, no.
No, but I do have another question.
Okay.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you if you had told the school district that you would provide them as part of this levy with a resource officer if they publicly supported the levy.
Absolutely not.
Which school district?
So there is no plans to have any of these deputies be in the school district?
If the school district would like to enter into an IGA or an agreement, a contract with us to pay us to have a deputy in the school, I'll gladly provide them one. But I don't have extra deputies sitting around. I can't promise that without that extra funding.
None of these deputies will be in the school?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. So, Brady, I mean, isn't that usually a city situation? Because I'm thinking of one school that's Warren, that's in county, and everyone else is within a city.
No, so Warren is in the county. Rainier School District is in the county.
Oh, Rainier,
And then now that we have Klotzkai is a county function as well.
So wait, Rainier School isn't in the city of Rainier, technically?
No.
No, no, it's out of the city.
It's up the hill.
Wow, that's city...
City limits is just right about where the bridge is, round about there.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a question. Can you explain to people, well, first, did your guys do 12-hour shifts, or would you have them doing 8-hour shifts? And for the people that live out in Mist and that area, Birkenfeld, would you have your deputy live out there? So they could respond to incidents in the outlying areas?
So I'll answer that question first because I forgot what your other question was, but help me circle back to it. So no, it would be great to have someone like a resident deputy, but I can't force someone to live where they don't want to live. If someone from Miss Birkenfeld wants to apply, go through the process, and they're successful with that, that's awesome. Or if someone, one of my deputies, want to live out there, that's awesome. But what I would do is go to kind of a districting system, right? So we have North County, South County, and the Hill and Valley. Once we get up to full staff, what that's going to allow us to do is during those busy hours of the day from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m., we're going to have at least five deputies on, if not six or seven. So what that's going to allow me to do is station one deputy in each of those three districts, plus have a couple deputies floating back and forth to help provide cover. That's going to greatly reduce response times. Your other question was what? I forgot.
Me too. Do they do 12-hour shifts?
Oh, there you go. So no, my patrol staff, they work 10-hour, 40-minute shifts. What that allows us to do, and it kind of rotates as well. So that's a four on, five on, four off, five on, four off, five on, five off. So twice a month, we have my entire patrol staff on duty. So that allows us to minimize overtime when we do the mandatory trainings, or we can serve a search warrant on those days, or we can just provide, if we're having a trouble spot with traffic crashes or with burglaries, we can dedicate more staff to those kind of hotspot areas.
Okay. All right. That's it. Thanks.
So what about Vernonia? Do you cover Vernonia? Does the city, but Vernonia has their own police department. So are you doing part of that coverage?
So Vernonia has their own police department. When there's no one on duty and my staff is on, we typically will respond inside the city limits to emergency calls if they can't.
Okay. So how many calls do you get on the river? I'm guessing it probably increases during fishing season in the summer.
It increases greatly during fishing season, and it's the splash and giggle crowd as well. During the summer when it gets hot, like around the island, that's when we get a lot of complaints. Typically, when our staff is out there, we don't get calls because there's a lot of self-initiated. I don't have the numbers of how many marine calls we have, but I can get those to you, Melinda, if you want, would like me to.
So, okay, so you will, if the levee passes, you will have a part-time deputy. I know that the marine deputy is paid for with a bunch of different funds, right?
So they're paid for through county general fund and mainly through the marine board. Yeah, the marine board pays for about one and a half FTEs right now.
1.5?
1.5, yeah.
Okay.
So during I think next month, within the next couple months, we'll have another that halftime guy come out there and work through the season.
Okay. And does that cover your boathouse down there?
What, the marine board?
Uh-huh.
They pay for all of our needed equipment. So they pay for the boats, okay. They pay for the fuel, they help cover the cost of repairs and maintenance and things like that as well.
Okay. All right. So what has been you've been out talking to groups, I'm guessing. What has been the response to the levy? Do people understand why it's needed?
They do. You know, it's such, I've been getting a lot of support when I'm going around the community talking. People, you know, of course, everyone's reluctant to have to pay more taxes. I'm reluctant to have to pay more taxes. But they also understand that with the way the laws are changing, it's really kind of putting more work on police officers and county deputies and state troopers. And they know that, one, they know that we're underfunded, they know that we're understaffed, and they know that they want to feel safer. So I think that all is kind of working for us right now.
And so how would this work? I know it's a little different than maybe a bond, but as more people move into Columbia County, that doesn't necessarily take the tax burden down in this instant, right? Because the more people, I'm guessing you might have to add deputies. What do you think? Have you looked at
Correct.
That?
Yeah. So as people move into the county, this is going to be set 29 cents per thousand for 4 years. Doesn't matter if we have 10,000 people move in or 10,000 people move out. That's just the set amount. Now, you know, in 4 years, if we reassess and we've had a huge influx, we have this huge pot of tax money, maybe we could look at lowering that in 4 years. But for that 4 years, it would be set.
Okay. All right, Carol, your turn.
No, it's my turn. Well, one of my concerns has always been the ability for a deputy to back up an officer who's stuck somewhere and needs help. And the fact that we haven't had the capacity to do that is frightening to me. And I also think it'd be nice to see us all work together as one big, not under one person, but one big law enforcement community, because people need to help each other out. It's a small county and we need backup. Yeah. And I feel like elections hurt that in a way, because people have to say things and do things to get elected. And I would like to see it more, but I don't know how you work it, because we were just talking about our boards with the fire, and it's not always great with the fire department. So I don't know if it'll work for police, but
for me it wouldn't, because the county sheriff is a constitutionally appointed office or elected office.
Right.
So it's written in the Constitution, so that would have to change. But I agree with you, though. Elections kind of hurt, because every 4 years when there's potentially going to be a new sheriff, all your current staff start wondering, and forward momentum kind of either slows or halts for that race. And then once the race is over, we pick back up and we have to get the ship moving again.
Right.
So it does hurt. I would agree to that.
Yeah, and I kind of feel, I'm glad you feel that way, and I kind of feel, because we have this campaign finance issue in Columbia County, in the state, but it's really bad here, that there are certain people with a lot of money make the decisions most of the time, and that's a hard thing to get past. And so I'm hoping that we can make some progress that way. I've noticed in the crisis intervention team training that we had officers from Portland, all over the county, places that needed it, and it was interesting to hear them interact with each other. Well, this is what we do. Well, this is how we do it, and I like that. I think that makes for a good organizational push.
Yeah, when I went through my CID training, I went through it with the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, so I got to see it from a wholly, completely different perspective, and it kind of really kind of gets the thought juices flowing. So,
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Brady. You're next.
So I want to drill down a little bit about calls. So while the 1613 sounds like a lot, it actually only works out to be 4.4 calls a day. So that's
is that 365 days a year, or is that based on a 4 or 5 day work week?
That's based on 365, which is what your number is based upon for a year.
So. Yes.
So that's four calls a day. But I did want to ask you about the number of calls that there's a discrepancy of about 6,000 calls between the sheriff's office and what 911 says that you got. Do you know why that is?
What do you mean discrepancy? Can you tell me, be more specific?
So for example, in 2020, your report says that you got 14,764 calls, but 911 says that you got 10,448, a difference of 4,316 calls. What explains that difference?
I can't think of what of that. I can't remember exactly that far back, but I typically include our Clatskanie calls within the county because we respond to Clatskanie as well. So that's probably the difference you're talking about, Brady, is my guess.
Okay.
So they call a different number then? They wouldn't call 911, they would call Clatskanie?
No, so everything goes to Columbia 911, and then it's dispatched based upon the jurisdiction or who's responding. So when I pull up calls for service for the sheriff's office, that is just unincorporated county. And so then I pull up the calls for service for Clatskanie, and then I meld those two together.
I see.
And then I take out things like traffic stops and transports. I pull those out of it.
Okay. So Clatskanie no longer has police department. You've completely taken over.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I think we've been that way since, I want to say, 2016 or 2017.
Right. Okay.
And I wanted to then sort of follow up on that call with Clatskanie. So from my records, you've done about a third the number of patrols that you said you would do in that contract. How much of the patrols have you done from the contract?
We have our contracted people patrolling Clatskanie.
But you're not doing the number of patrols that you said that you would, correct?
Not correct, no.
So you're saying that you're doing all of the patrols?
I am meeting the contract obligations for Clatskanie. And to ensure that I do, I meet with, typically it's at least the city councilor or the city manager, but typically the city manager and the mayor. We try to meet quarterly. Sometimes we don't quite hit quarterly, but we meet that. We kind of review their expectations because I want to ensure that we're meeting those expectations. And if there's any sort of issues, then we talk about them and we work them out together. And we move on. So I believe I am fully meeting the Clatskanie contract.
Okay. And did you first ask for the levy at the Republican meeting rather than at a public meeting?
What do you mean?
Did you first submit your request to have the levy at the Republican PCP meeting?
No.
So how did you first announce the levy?
I believe it was on Facebook.
Okay.
Facebook word of mouth or the public Board of County Commissioners meetings where we went in and we discussed all this stuff.
All right.
Okay, Tammy?
Yeah, I don't know if this was asked while I was locked in the garage, but my question is, What can you tell us kind of what the pay scale is for being a sheriff's deputy? And if you got this levy, would they get a better living wage?
So the wage is based upon a negotiated contract, a bargaining contract So every, I think this is a 3-year contract. So in 3 years, they can renegotiate for higher pay. But currently, I can tell you exactly what we pay. So our entry-level step one deputy makes $26.59 an hour. We have a 9-step pay schedule. And step nine, it makes $38.95 an hour.
How long does it take you to get to step nine?
8 years.
8 years. And is your wages comparable to, I know it's negotiated, but is that comparable to other sheriff departments in the state or police departments?
Yeah, it is. That's one thing we kind of do when we go through the bargaining process is we compare that to other like-sized, like-populated counties. And that's kind of how the negotiations start.
Oh, okay, so everybody, so all the, in that just for sheriff's department, or is that, do you include like city cops too?
I believe they just compare sheriff's offices, because typically you'll see city officers make more money than sheriff's offices do.
Why is that?
I think because they have a larger tax base, and they're able to, and plus they don't have as many responsibilities as the sheriff's office. So a city police department, they can form a police department, they respond to crimes, and they provide traffic safety. Right, the sheriff's office, we have constitutionally things that we're constitutionally bound to do. We have at least 65 mandated duties that are in the Oregon Constitution that we have to provide. So I have to split my money up between obviously the jail, civil, patrol, front office staff to provide concealed handgun licenses, marine patrol, all those different things.
Yeah, okay.
What's civil? What are your civil responsibilities?
So civil, we are responsible for the process of the courts. So we handle evictions, we handle, we serve civil papers for any sort of civil actions. We remove children from homes if it's signed by a judge, all those kind of nasty things.
So okay. What's your total budget for the year?
For enforcement? I believe this year it's right around $4 million.
So, and so what, what's your whole, can you give me a roundabout about what your whole operating levy is, or not levy, but your budget for a year, roundabout, just to run everything? Not the jail, just your department.
Yeah, I think just jail aside, we call it the enforcement budget and the jail budget. The enforcement budget, which encompasses all that, is right around $4
million. $4 million? Okay, thanks. I think it's Carol or Melinda.
It's my turn. So I want to kind of piggyback on something that Tammy, what you said to Tammy. So you're saying that a police officer may have different responsibilities than the sheriff's deputy?
Yes.
And is that basically what you were outlining, that they might have to serve papers, they might have to remove a child from a home?
Yeah.
That kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, I have an entire list here. I can hit some of them off the top. So we have to serve, provide for security for any juries that's sequestered. We're responsible to sell properties that have been foreclosed or taken by the county. We enforce judgments. We collect fees in certain civil actions and suits. We have to conduct sales of foreclosures and advertise. Conduct sale of unclaimed or bailed property. We have to enforce writs of execution, service process warrants, court subpoenas, things like that, court orders. We are required to transport mental health inmates to the state hospital. That's in the Constitution as well. Dispose of and distribute forfeited property. A lot of different things.
So does that mean that your deputies need more training than let's say a Scappoose police officer?
Yes, because cities don't have to deal with like the civil side, the court processes side. So my deputies have to be trained in that so they can properly legally do it.
But do they go to the same police academy and then they have additional training once they're finished? Is that how that works?
Yeah, so the civil stuff is usually on the job training, OTJ. But currently we have a deputy, a civil deputy. So he is That is his job. He comes in, he handles all the civil papers. And there is civil school through the Oregon State Sheriff's Association that they can attend yearly to kind of get the updates and the new laws and kind of.
And is that usually a retired deputy? I remember him. Is he still around? He was an older gentleman.
That's Al Habey. You're thinking about Al Habey, correct?
Yeah.
So Al actually just retired. I think at the end of March. So currently we have a younger deputy performing that job.
I see. Okay. But it's an actual deputy. It's not a civilian person.
Correct. He is actually a certified police officer.
Okay. All right.
And yeah. Al was as well. But
yeah, I remember seeing him in his brown car with his cowboy hat. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you're talking about Keith Friels.
Is that who that is? Long. Okay.
Yeah. Sure guy. Yeah.
So we only just have a couple questions. Can I ask you a real quick follow-up? So basically, the deputies have more responsibilities, more training, but get paid less. Who does this job?
Me. Really? I think on the break,
because I think the city makes almost $20,000 more a year than a deputy.
Yeah.
And so it's like, why would you have more responsibility, more training, and come work for you when they could go to a city?
Yeah. Honestly, we've taken a couple people from like St. Helens PD, and what they say they enjoy working for the county is for the culture. They'll take the pay cut because they feel it's a better work culture for them, better fit for them.
Interesting.
Sheriff's department's always been more nicer to kids.
Thank you. That's because we're oftentimes by ourselves, so we have to have that rapport building skills to play nice.
Except I want to point out that he wants to pay them more, but we have the commissioners are not budging on the amount that they're giving him, if you recall.
Yeah. Well.
So.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, I'm sorry, but they can invest in a school that's costing X number of million dollars on that decision, but I think the law enforcement needs to be paid more. I wouldn't do that job for that kind of pay.
Well, no. Like I said earlier, it's really a labor of love. Some people are drawn to the career, and they take pride in what they do. And those are kind of the people that we look for throughout our application.
Well, I'm appreciative. Appreciative anybody wants to do that job.
Me too.
Carol, you're next. We have 2 minutes left in the show, so if you have tough questions, now's the time.
I don't have any tough questions. I'm in support of this. I think it's important. I worked in the field for 6 years, so if I go in, I get a pay raise.
That's right.
Who pays for the sheriff guy that roams around the courthouse?
We do.
You do? Is that the guy that sits out front by the greeter?
Yeah.
Why don't the county pay for that?
They do through my budget. So that is one of those constitutionally required things that we're required to do.
Okay.
Some places like Washington County, they contract out to a security company, but they also have, deputies there. So some counties do that. They will contract out to a security company, but I don't think that's safe enough.
I'm in agreement with you. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I want someone in the courthouse providing court security that's able to effect an arrest and do all of those things and kind of have a working knowledge of the law.
I've thought of a question. When our new gun safety measure gets out of Harney County and comes out here, it will cost you guys some money because you'll have to do some things, more testing, more whatever.
Yeah.
So this will help, I'm assuming.
It won't help because, you mean the levy? Yes, the levy will help with that.
Right.
But I think you're talking about Measure 114. If that is enacted, then it's going to cost more than it brings in.
Right. Okay.
Well, I just want to thank you again. That's it. We are out of time. Make sure you tune in at a special time next week, 9 a.m. to 11. We're going to be talking to the port candidates. It's going to be a doozy, folks. So thanks so much. You know how to get a hold of Sheriff Pixley if you want any questions. Don't call 911. You can figure it out. Look on Facebook. All right. Have a good one. We'll see you next Friday.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Bye. Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. Call the show now at 503-397-1600.